Let's start with a quote from a book. From their arrival around 1619, African people had illegally resisted legal slavery. They had thus been stamped from the beginning as criminals. The book, 2016's Stamped from the Beginning, The Definitive History of Racist Ideas in America by Ibram X. Kendi, founder of Boston University's Center for Anti-Racist Research. A National Book Award winner, it has become a seminal text in understanding the history of race, racism, and systems of oppression in the U.S. And now it's poised to reach new audiences. Joel Christian Gill, the inaugural chair of Boston University's MFA program in visual narrative and a monthly regular here on Radio Boston, is putting his own stamp on a graphic novel version of Stamped from the Beginning that the two are releasing today. So, just a few days ago, the three of us sat down in Studio 2 to talk about the collaboration, and I started by asking Ibram Kendi to talk about how the partnership started.
I think Joel's an incredible cartoonist, and I think we had been thinking for quite some time about a new way to tell this history, an accessible way, an interesting way, a funny way, and we thought Joel would be the best, and so thankfully he said yes.
I'm blushing now on radio.
There were so many times in reading through this, Joel, that I thought of fights. Because even though this is an adaptation of somebody else's work, there feels like there is something deeply personal of you in this art, in the humor, in the literal and metaphorical coloring of this history and the way you bring it forward inside and in between the squares.
Yeah, I think I had a professor tell me once in undergrad that whenever you draw a self-portrait, you're drawing a portrait of somebody, you're drawing a little bit of yourself. And so I think true art is legitimately putting a little bit of yourself into everything that you do. And I think that's how it resonates. That's when you start resonating. There are people who can draw and there are people who can make work. They don't necessarily make work that resonates because they're not putting themselves into it. It's almost like there's a separation between them and the work. And I think that for things that I've learned in my life since fights and with this book as well, that putting myself into these things. So, you know, I think Amanda said, one of the producers said that she could hear me, like my sense of humor when she was talking
100%.
About it. And I'm like, that's what I want. Like, I want you, you know, like I tried to like copy Dr. Kendi's words as much as possible. But when the humor came in, I was like, I'm going to let my voice show through in that way.
There's a review on the back, and one of the things that W. Kamau Bell refers to this as snarky, which I find you to be a little snarky when we're together. And you know, I would argue that a history of racist ideas in America, snark's not necessarily what somebody would lead from the beginning, and yet I also understand how one could not be snarky when confronted with the full weight of what Ibram X. Kendi has put together over hundreds of years of systemic approaches to oppression.
Yeah, I mean, I say this, you know, I texted him after I finished the book and I was like, thank you for letting me put fart jokes in your history tome.
I'm blushing at it.
Because, I mean, you know, it's difficult, right? Like, you know, people tell me, like, they say, you know, I say I made it funny, but they're like, how do you make racism funny? I'm like, well, sometimes it's funny, ha-ha, right? And so, like, I think in a lot of the comedy, it's sort of like, you know, like people saying stuff, saying the quiet part loud, right? Or, you know, I often say that sarcasm is my love language. And I think, like, having that sarcasm in there or having, you know, Ida B. Wells yell at W.E.B. Du Bois, are you mansplaining me? You know, like having those things come out, I think, is the way in which to tell the story. But, you know, like, and there are places that it's not funny, right? Like, there are places where I slow it down. Like, on the first couple of pages when I draw Emmett Till, I mean, those were, like, not cartooning moments for me. Like, I wanted to be as true to those pictures as I possibly could because I didn't want people to look at them and be funny. But in the beginning when I draw, you know, Ted Cruz with this, you know, his, like, rollerboard that says Cancun on it, or when I draw Candace Owens with, you know, like, and Bill Cosby with, like, you know, like a pudding pop. Like, I wanted those things to be funny. But there are places where I don't want it to be funny at all. The way comics works, and you've heard me say this 1,000 times, comics are a sneaky way to teach people stuff. And so because it's the visual, you almost have to like sprinkle stuff out there and let people feel those things a little bit. And that's what I was trying to do.
So I wanted to get that body of thought out, turning to you, Ibram Kendi, because There have been so many times that I've talked to authors in the fictional space where we then talk about what happens when their book is made into a movie. It's made into a television series. It's made into some other depiction. And they give up some level of control as it's personified elsewhere. And now we have this seminal award-winning work that is history, right? That is so, at some level, we're supposed to conceptualize it as truth. And now someone has applied art and their own humor and their own interpretation and their own frame. Did you feel like you were giving up control of something?
So I actually didn't even necessarily think about it like that. I mean, I thought about the fact that I wrote a narrative history of anti-Black racist ideas and based on evidence, and that, you know, a graphic novel would be able to present that history in a different way. And I also understand as a creator and a writer that when you're working with someone else, they have to have the space to put their own stamp, put their own influence on it. Because as Joel said, if they don't have that ability, then it's probably not going to be, you know, as good. And so I've been blessed with the ability to partner with a number of people on different works. And I always wanted to approach it with giving them the space to make their magic. And that's certainly what Joel did with this book.
I'm pausing because the full force of the fact that you said to put their own stamp on it strikes me. Your book was called Stamped from the Beginning because you talk about the full force of a history of racist policies putting its stamp on America, putting its stamp on Black America, putting its stamp on who we are, how we understand the world, how we fail to understand the world today. Joel, you then went on to literally create a stamp. I have it on the inside of my book, right? That is a piece of your graphic depiction of Stamped from the Beginning, as you did put your stamp on it. And there is this idea that we are all indelibly stamped by an undeniable truth that you set out with in this book. And it's dangerous. Truth is dangerous. And Joel, you've talked before about how art is dangerous.
Always, yeah, right. Always dangerous. Art is always dangerous. And it's dangerous because of the way comics and any visual medium touches people, whether it's movies, whether it's television shows, but books and comics specifically, because they speak to us on a language, on a level that we don't necessarily understand. When you're reading a comic and you're thinking about it and you're walking through it, you should not be thinking about the words and not be thinking about the pictures and really just internalizing what's happening there. And the reason that those things work is because we're doing it on a subconscious level. And you know that it's working, and you can tell that it's working because people are banning them. That's how you can tell that people are, it's actually working. That idea that these things, you know, like resonate on a different level. I always talk about my 90-year-old grandmother who died last year. And like, I can't say that she ever read in a complete novel, but I know she read all of my books, right? And they were all comics, right? The history of comics are legitimately people picking up something and just reading it in the trenches, right? Like this is in World War II. And so like having that connection scares people. And putting this kind of capital T, when I say capital T truth, even I recognize that that's not always a thing, but capital T truth, like Dr. Kendi legitimately researched, this stuff is not editorial. Like what I say, and when I make, you know, Samuel Parrish's daughters say Wu-Tang is for the children, that's editorializing, right? or you know, Gucci Gang, or whatever, right? That's editorializing. But the fact that this thing happened, that Cotton Mather stamps Blackness with this sort of impenetrable, you know, thing that stays with us, like Black is bad. That's a truth. That's something that you can't deny because he said it. The words are right there.
We're talking with artist Joel Christian Gill and author and historian Ibram X. Kendi about their collaboration on the new comic version of Kendi's Stamped from the Beginning, The Definitive History of Racist Ideas in America. Let's continue our conversation now with Ibram X. Kendi and Joel Christian Gill, both faculty at Boston University. It's about their collaboration on the new graphic novel that's out today. It's a comic version of Kendi's 2016 book, Stamped from the Beginning, A Definitive History of Racist Ideas in America. We spoke with the two about working together a few days ago, and here, Kendi picks up with what he discovered about his work after seeing it depicted in Joel Christian Gill's art.
When I sat down to write Stamped from the Beginning, which ultimately was going to be an intellectual history, that's the most boring type of history typically. And so I was, as I was thinking about writing it, I was like, okay, no, I have to make this interesting to people because ideas are so foundational to our world in ways that we may not necessarily realize. So the way that I went about doing that was when I was writing, I was constantly picturing the debates, the scenes, even the writing that I was portraying, and of course put that sort of on the page, which then could potentially allow the writer to sort of really see what they're reading. But of course, I'm not a cartoonist, right? I'm not someone who can literally create that image. And so in many ways, I got to see through this graphic novel what I was hoping to do, but of course couldn't necessarily do through the medium of, you know, of the original. And so in many ways, it came full circle. And I think that the irony also about just the comedy and the humor is that it's hard to not ultimately, when you read hundreds of years of ideas that are not only false but ridiculous, to eventually start laughing at their ridiculousness. And ultimately, you'll see that in this history of anti-Black racist ideas.
Give an example. I know there are many to choose from, but just give one.
Well, I mean, even the title of the book, Stamped from the Beginning, comes from a speech that Jefferson Davis gave on the floor of the U.S. Senate in 1860. He was a senator from Mississippi, and he argued that the inequality of the Black and white races was stamped from the beginning. And then he went about telling this story of Cain and Abel. Cain was excommunicated from the Garden of Eden. He came upon the land of Nod, and in this land of Nod were the beings created before humans, and in addition to those animals were Black people. And he said this, like, on the floor of the U.S. Senate, right? I mean, it's just such a ridiculous story that some people would be outraged and other people would just laugh in his face at its ridiculousness.
Your book's been banned, Stamped from the Beginning, in some places. Last time I spoke with you, we talked about this, the awakening that some Americans went through after the murder of George Floyd. And I carefully say some. I'm always mindful of Michael Curry of the Massachusetts League of Community Health Centers, who says, if some people are having sleepless nights, then the insomniacs among us welcome them, right? and then the backlash, right? And I read to you or quoted you someone who compared it to post-Reconstruction, which is interesting given the history that's in this book about that. Joel, you often talk about, you know, it's working because it gets banned. This book's not even out till June 6th. How long do you give it before it joins the original version in starting to be banned places?
I think, banning's not what you want something to happen, because banning only takes it away from the people who really can. Like, privileged people are always like, I'm going to be able to read stuff. Dr. Kennedy's going to be able to read stuff. It's going to be those kids and those young people that are not going to have those accesses. And so, like, you know, as soon as somebody picks it up, like, the hard truth of America, which is really something that's like, it's you know, it's amazing that we got here based on the people that we have. Like, I don't say founding fathers, I always say colonial human traffickers, and people get mad at me when I say that. But, like, it's real, right? Thomas Jefferson walks in here right now with a 14-year-old, we call the police. That's what we would do as people, right? And there are people who basically believe a fan fiction about America. Right? Like, they believe the fan fiction that is America, that is George Washington not telling a lie, as opposed to starting a world war by massacring French, you know, diplomats. You know, it's the lie that, you know, Abraham Lincoln was the greatest American president, even though he wanted to ship all Black people to Africa, right? And I think that the people who are going to be offended by that are always going to be offended, because at their core, they are more connected to their idea of whiteness than they are to their humanity. And I think that when you put something in front of them, this is just like going to therapy. You put something in front of someone that they don't want to confront, and they run from it.
So it's 2023. The goal is not to have any version of Stamped from the Beginning banned, right? You just said that. The goal is to continue to do this work, ask people to engage with it, sit with the discomfort, challenge ourselves to re-understand our history, and then write the next book, and then create the next piece of art that tries to tell our truth. You used capital T, Joel, earlier. And I find myself thinking, if the next step is a step forward and we're pushing so hard to step backward at the same time as a country, if we're in that push me, pull you place right now, how do you think as an author? So it's going to be as an author and as an artist. This is the last question for each of you. So Ibram X. Kendi, as an author, how do you think about the next story to tell and how to tell it to continue to push?
If Sam from the Beginning ultimately chronicles the origins of many of the ideas that people hold that cause them to think that there's something wrong or inferior about Black people, if people reading this graphic novel realize precisely who created those ideas and for what purpose, and also realize that those ideas are false, then it starts causing those very people to look at around at their communities and to no longer explain the disparities, the injustices that they see by blaming Black people. And so then if they can't blame Black people anymore, if there's nothing wrong with Black people, then we have to figure out another explanation. And then that other explanation becomes what people don't want to acknowledge, which is the problem is racism. And so that next step, us realizing that there's nothing wrong with Black people and everything wrong with the policies and the conditions and practices that are confronting and confining Black people, then hopefully they'll look at those policies and practices and conditions as the problem and work with Black people and others to eradicate them.
Joel Christian Gill, same question to you.
I think that my hope is that for people reading this book and to move forward is that I would hope that white people realize, and some people do. I always say there are white people and there are people who happen to be white, to realize that they have been stamped as well. Because the difference between Black people and white people in a racial sense is a rounding error, right? It's like in a genetic sense is a rounding error. You know, like it's just not real, right? It's not a real thing. James Baldwin said this, you know, in 1972, like, I don't believe in Blackness. I don't believe in whiteness for that matter, because we're all humans. Imagine what would happen if we had all been stamped with humanity in the beginning, right? And so, like, we can't erase that history. So, like, we have to actually deal with that history in order to move forward as a one humanity, as a one group of people, because we have to reconcile what we already went through, what we've already put in place, all those laws and all those policies. We have to reconcile that now. And the only way to reconcile that is to actually realize where our history comes from and then move forward.
Joel Christian Gill is the inaugural chair of Boston University's MFA program in visual narrative. And Ibram X. Kendi is the founding director of the BU Center for Anti-Racist Research. Their collaboration is the graphic novel version of Kendi's Stamped from the Beginning, A Definitive History of Racist Ideas in America.